We are honored to be here with you today. And today's reading is from 2 Peter 2:1, and then we'll skip ahead to 2:10 through 22. I think they'll have it for you to follow along. Maybe. Here we go. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willfully, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing.
They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, then after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. This is the word of the Lord.
Can y'all hear me? You can take that with you right there. All right, it's good to be here. Amen. It's good to be back. I was thinking about it's dangerous to give a preacher a microphone after 6 weeks he hadn't preached. I'll let you figure out why that's dangerous, but I guess we'll see how long this takes. Amen. First of all, I just wanted to thank our elders, our elder team, and our board who graciously allowed me to take some time away, so thank you for that. And thank you, this church. You've always been so gracious to us. It was an amazing time to drink from the presence of the Lord, and it's good to be back, not only to see everybody's faces, but knowing the stories behind the individuals, the marriages, the families in this church. It brings tears to my eyes just to be in worship with you guys. So thank you. Thank you for being an amazing church. Thank you that Jesus is welcome here. And I'm honored to serve GCF Church and Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now we are in y'all heard the scripture this morning. Pastors were laughing at me and said, Blake, you come back and get the hardest passage of 2 Peter. I said, I appreciate that. But we are in a series called Unshakable, and we're moving through 2 Peter passage by passage. We'll finish next week. And unshakable. I can get behind that, right? Now, this here is my running watch. I do like to run. It's waterproof. But you know what? It's not. It's actually even cracked. It's still waterproof. But it's not water-free. See that? When I bought this, it doesn't promise that this won't get wet. Right? But it does promise that if it's wet, it'll still work. So the unshakable life that Jesus has called us is not a promise that you won't be shaken. Quite the opposite. Actually, Hebrews tell us everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He's going to shake it so that what can't be shaken remains. And so the promises of God, I think, thank you, John Bell, who preached about that a couple weeks ago. The promises of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is so that we can make it through the storm. And so Peter here writing to more than likely the churches in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, he's delivering a message to them. And this is right before he passes away. He says, look, I know I am at the end of the tent of this body. And so my preaching to you is so that when I'm gone, you can remember what I've said. And he keeps going. When I'm no longer around, you can recall by remembrance what the word of the Lord is. And so Peter here, right here in chapter 2, Devon introed this really well last week. He says this. Essentially, beware of false teachers. Beware. Now, Jude is a very parallel passage. The book of Jude is very parallel to 2 Peter. And he says things like contend for the faith and beware of false teachers. Now, my brother's here. I didn't tell him this, but come on up here, TD. I didn't prepare him. And then TD's my more talented brother. So we have three of us boys in the Dameron household. And to contend means to struggle against. Now, we struggled against each other most of the years growing up, right?
Yes.
Now, he's older. I know that might not be obvious, but he is older. And so for most of our year, he was bigger, right? The older brother's bigger. And so we would always walk around in our house, you know, we just kind of... Just, you know, and if we're feeling real frisky, we kind of grab a belt loop so they can't get away, you know, and you just rum up and then you push against them. But then you look at their feet to make sure, hey, if they don't have shoes on, they're in trouble, right? They're going to slide. So then we just work them around the house, you know, and so we contend with each other. And I don't know if you can tell he's got the lower center of gravity, but he usually wins. But we would contend and the footing matters. What? Now, you can be stronger, but if your footing is right, you can't contend against. And so, thank you, TD.
You're welcome. Fix your mic.
Help me, TD.
It needs to go back towards your face.
There you go. Appreciate that. You're such a good older brother. I'll never, this is not the story I was going to tell, but thank you, TD, for reminding me. We're in the airport. We're in RDU. I don't know where we were flying, TD. We were going to some kind of conference. And evidently, I've been reading a newspaper. They used to have these things. They were white. They were called newspapers. And evidently, I had to get this black smudge on my face. And just out of the corner of my face, my brother, okay, he's looking at me. You know that look when your brothers or your siblings looking like not in your eyes, but on your face? He licks his thumb. It's like slow motion. We're in the airport. We're in public, y'all. I'm a grown man. This isn't like I was 5. I'm like 30 years old. Well, 20, mid-20s. Like slow motion. I'm like, and boy, he helped me. So thank you, Tim, for moving. That's why you need family. Amen. Well, you might have a smudge on your face this morning. Theologically, we're going to help you, praise God. It's going to feel weird, right? You might not like it, but it's going to help you, praise God. So here's the scheme of the enemy is this. He can't come at the people of God straight ahead, typically. No, he can sometimes. There was an old myth, many of y'all know, the Greeks would surround this city and for 10 years they couldn't get in. They besieged it. In 10 years they couldn't get in. And so they thought this grand plan, they're going to build this giant structure on wheels as like a as a gift to the city. They're going to act like they get in ships and sail away. And then they're going to really secretly hide around. And just like they planned, they looked like they left. The war's over. They pull this giant structure into the city on wheels as the gift. And at night, the Greeks climb out of that structure, open the doors, and then the city is taken. That's the Trojan horse, right? Y'all know the story. So here's the enemy. He can't come at the people of God directly, but he can weasel his way in and bring it down from the inside. And how does he do it? Through false teachers. Now, Paul warns us about this. Acts 20, to the elders at Ephesus, he goes, there will be false teachers, ravenous wolves who come up among you. 2 Corinthians 11, he warns the Corinthian church, there will be false apostles, false teachers among you. 1 Peter 4, Paul exhorts Timothy. In the church of in Ephesus, there will be false teachers. That, right? And Jesus himself, Matthew 24, beware of the false prophets and teachers. So we know that we should be aware. And Peter here, before he dies, he says, look, beware, because they can take this whole thing down. And so we must contend with false teachers. And footing is important. And why is that important? This is what he says. He says, but false prophets came up among Israel. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly, say secretly, secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing up themselves swift destruction. Contend. Footing matters. And so what is our footing in? We cannot contend against false teachers if we don't know the truth of the gospel. If you cannot articulate the good news of Jesus and how someone gets saved, you specifically, you are in danger. I'm not saying you're not saved, right? I mean, how many of us really understood exactly everything that was going on when we got saved? Very few. I just know I need Jesus. He's the King. And then as I got to know him, I began to understand the gospel. You can be saved, but be in danger because you don't have any footing. Now, there's usually this honeymoon where the Spirit of God is on you. Your heart is open. There's this moment where you feel Jesus near you, and there's a honeymoon, and that gives you time to get your roots down, to get your cleats on, because somebody's about to body check you, and you might be pushed all around. And so we've got to know and understand the good news of Jesus and our Bibles. And so footing is important. Now, it says secretly because, you know, this happens deceptively. That's why Peter's perspective. You're not going to see it coming. You're just going to be making your sandwich at the bar, and your older brother's just going to, boom. You didn't see it. He was a secret mission. And so we've got to be aware of this. What does he say? He says, secretly bringing up destructive heresies. Now, this word, heresies, is important. In the Greek, it's the first time it's connected with wrong thinking or wrong belief or a theological perspective, because typically it means party or sect. And so what Peter is bringing kind of a new, he's like, look, there's this, what's going to happen is, what God's doing in our midst, and this is important because I was at this conference last, who was at the Campus Harvest last night, this weekend? It was awesome, right? And one of the things they ended with was they looked at this younger generation and they said, hey, I just want you to know that God is doing something in your midst. God is doing something. I was reading in Luke this week, and this blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting. And he heard Jesus pass by. He goes, what's going on? And so it was Jesus of Nazareth. And what he said, what did he do? He said, he shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they were like, shh, be quiet. What did that keep him from being quiet? No, he shouted all the more because he knew a time was coming when he might not get this opportunity again. Now, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is everywhere all the time. He is our sovereign Lord. We're going to talk about that. But he does moves. He moves in human history in ways. And I've seen God. I've done ministry long enough to see these waves come. And I don't know if this is right, but it seems that what God's doing now is a little bit different. It's going to be more potent. It's going to last a little longer. But you know what? You could be over here and miss him walk by. I mean, I can imagine during the 70s and the Jesus movement, right? Many church folks missed what God was doing because it didn't fit into our church order. Messed up our carpet. They smelled a little bit. Order is perfect. I mean, order is perfect. Order is good, right? But it's not God. Have you read the New Testament? There's a lot of disorder going on. People wandering in fields, waiting for Jesus to speak, haven't eaten, right? He fed them. He brought good things. But what I'm saying is if we think we're going to put God in a box, we might miss what God's going to do. It's going to happen with young people. And if we don't make room, we're going to just be a statistic like every other church. Amen? And so heresies will come in, and this heresies is sectarian. It's trying to bring people against other people. It's not just wrong thinking. It's let me have this wrong thinking, and let me gather people to my thinking and then point at them. They're wrong. And it secretly happens. It comes in among the church and ruins what God's doing. Now, these heresies usually come in two forms. We see this in the passage. It says this. They deny the master. That word could be translated the sovereign Lord. And typically heresies come around two things. One is the identity of Jesus. Jesus is God Almighty, co-eternal with the Father. He's uncreated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. Nothing has been made that he didn't make. And so these heresies, oh yeah, Jesus is a God. Hold on now. He's not a God, he is the sovereign Lord. And see, we'll come in and we'll say, oh yeah, yeah, we're Christian. But when we get close and we listen, no, this isn't the gospel according to the New Testament. We're adding stuff in. We're pulling Jesus down. We're making him something he's not. And these historic misunderstandings who Jesus is, whether it's the Church of Jesus Christ or Latter-day Saints, or it's a skewed vision of who Jesus is through Islam, he is not just a good teacher, he is God. Amen. Eternal. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, and he is coming. And we learned this in last chapter. This isn't cleverly invented schisms that Pastor James talked about. These are, Peter said, I saw him on the holy mountain. Elijah was there, Moses was there, and I heard the voice of the Father say, this is my son, listen to him. So I think it's pretty easy we can say, are these, I tell you what, boy, getting good over here. Boy. Out 6 weeks, I didn't know we put in a strobe light. Praise God. James, what are you doing up here, brother? Shoot, that must have been John Bell. So this is easy. We can look at these kind of big theological and say, oh yeah, obviously they're missing, they're twisting who Jesus is. But we do this in the Christian church. Oh, we want Jesus as Savior. Boy, I need some shame taken away. Oh, I got anxiety. I can't pay the bills. We want a Savior. We want my sins forgiven. But we deny the sovereign Lord. And we think we can come in and come to a front and say a prayer and then walk out and live how we want to live. Come in, do a little religious deed, and then walk out and think, oh, I'm okay because I did the act. We've denied the sovereign Lord. He is King eternal. He is our sovereign Lord. Contend, we must contend. Now, secondly, not just we miss the identity of Jesus, but we miss the work of Jesus. Who bought you? This is the good news. Jesus didn't come bringing a new philosophy. Do we understand that? Come follow the philosophy of Jesus. He's not just a way. Now, he brings a way with him, but he is the life. Who bought you? What does that? What does that mean? I didn't know I was for sale. Yeah. You've been under, another passage says he redeemed you, which means you were under someone else's authority. You were under the wrath of God. You weren't just had a little cold, need to take a break, get a good night's sleep and come back. No, it says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So we can't come to Jesus and think, all right, I've been bad yesterday, be good today. As long as I'm a little bit better today than I was yesterday, we think, oh, Jesus is okay with me. That's not the gospel. The gospel says you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're unable to save yourself, and Christ in his great love, the co-eternal with the Father, put on flesh, dwelt among you, and died in your place. He bought you. And so when we kind of make that, well, I mean, did Jesus really raise from the dead? If he didn't, then your faith is useless. Because the whole Christian experience in God rests on this fulcrum of a historic moment that Jesus rose from the dead bodily and is alive. And so the false teachings will say, well, he doesn't have to really be bodily. Hold on now. Oh, he's got to be bought. You were bought. Well, how do I know I've been bought? Because he rose from the dead and said he did it. And all the disciples saw it, and they said, we're willing to die for this one reality. Jesus is alive, and he died for your sins, and he is King eternal. Amen? When we start fiddling with this, who Jesus is and what he's done, and we start adding stuff to it, well, yeah, you got to put faith in Jesus, but you also have to do these other hoops. Hold on now. He bought you. Put faith in Christ alone. Through faith alone. By grace alone. Not our good deeds, lest no one can boast. This is the good news. Now, application. How do we get good footing? How do we push against this? One, we got to get in this Bible. Y'all, we got to get in this Bible. There's a great book. There's probably about 15 more editions from the one I bought. Now, but it's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. It's by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. It's a staple. If you want to dig into the scriptures to understand the Bible a little bit better, I highly recommend that. It's a good book, a good study Bible like ESV, CSB Study Bible. If you're reading the scriptures and someone's got a new revelation that no one in Christian history has ever gotten before, beware. Beware. Somebody's receiving gold tablets out of the sky. Be careful. If you can't see them, run away. So these are false teachings. We got to know our scriptures. Amen? Second thing we see is Peter gets right into it. You got to know the character. The teaching is off, but the character is always in line. Especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passions, despising authority, bold, willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. However, angels who are greater in might and power do not bring slanderous charge against them before the Lord, but these people, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, slander what they do not understand, and in their destruction, they too will be destroyed. They will be paid back for their harm. But the harm they have done, they consider it a pleasure to carouse or revel in the broad daylight. They are spots and blemishes, delighting in the deception while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery. They never stop looking at for sin. They seduce unstable people. Why? What is he saying? These people, their character does not line up with Jesus' teaching. And this is, I think, I love the internet. I love blogs and YouTube and podcasts. I love it all. And I'm a consumer of content. But we have to understand that we can't be discipled by content online because you can't know people's character. And I'm glad that a lot of leaders in the evangelical and Protestant church are being called to account for their sin. I think that's healthy and good. But some of the people calling out people, they're receiving money too, buddy. You don't think they get more clicks by finding the next scandal? And so all I'm saying is we got to be careful because we can't know the character. That's Peter saying, look, you can tell. The teaching is bad because the living is bad. And if we can't get close to people, how do we know? I remember I was learning about campus ministry and being involved with this campus ministry. And this particular leader, not in North Carolina, was in a different state. Something wasn't right. And I was young in the faith, and I was just excited. And I was being around, and I was watching it, and there were some checks in my spirit, but I was just like, well, everybody seems to be good with this. Get back to this healthy, good church. Thank you, Pastor Mike, and the leaders here, and seeing the lives of people, seeing their families, seeing their marriages. I'm like, okay, this is... And then now looking back, I said, something wasn't right about that. Come to find out, that pastor fell morally, was skimming some money off the top, right? Was doing all the things that Peter just warned about. It was character. And you don't think the teaching was along with that? It was funny, a couple years later, I was at this big young people church, and thousands of young people were there between the ages of 18 and 20-some. We drove there that night. My friend invited me. I come into the meeting room. This is the leaders' meeting that anybody could come to. So I'm coming to the leaders' meeting, and as soon as he walked in, I felt the same spirit of that other campus minister. I'm like, whoo, I've been here before, right? Different names, but this is the same environment. A few years later, same thing. Everything came to light. He fell. Why? Well, false teaching and character come together. What are some of those character issues? They indulge in the lust of the flesh. They despise authority. They don't want anybody holding them accountable. That's why we take our time around here putting people in leadership, because we want to see, can you handle authority? Someone crossing you. Pastor Mike has always done an amazing job at that in this church and our other elders at the time. So, hey, can you handle correction? Because if you can't handle authority, I ain't giving you authority. Right? That's a disaster. And so taking our time, making sure, hey, can they submit to authority? They're bold and arrogant, stubborn and hard-headed. There's some spiritual showmanship. He said, look, man, they're cursing demons and stuff. Like, I don't know what that means. I just know it was a show. Y'all ever seen a demon? I haven't. I know people have. I haven't. But I've seen the manifestation of demons. But these people are having a great spiritual show, but they're like mists blown by the wind. They're good showmen, not good character. There is a difference, right? And they're slick, but are they deep? They're irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and killed, simply living according to the flesh. It says they revel or carouse. That word, the root word there is luxuriously. They love to live out their wealth. They want everybody to see it. You got quiet. That's just what Peter said here. He said, look, they do it in the daytime as almost like a credential for their ministry. I'm successful. I just want you to know. Beware. And they're greedy. What do we want to say here? Here's what I want to say. What's the application? Look, if we're going to veer off or pick up this new teaching or get pulled away, we need to know the character of the people we're following. That's why local church is so important, and that's why internet church is always going to fall short and keep us vulnerable to deception. Doesn't mean I don't glean and listen and learn, but hey, where am I locally? And what are they saying about this stuff so that I could grow and develop as a believer? Number three, the cunning of false teachers. Forsaking the right way, they've gone astray. They followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. They were greedy, but was rebuked by his own transgression, a speechless donkey. So if y'all don't know the story, Israel's coming into the promised land, and God is on them, and the people around that are seeing it, this one particular king named Balak of Moab says, look, I don't know what's going on, but God is with them, which means he ain't with us, and we're in trouble. So he hires out Balaam to come, and he said, look, stand on this mountain, look at the people in the valley, and pronounce a curse. And so Balaam's like, is the price right? And he's like, it's going to be real good for you. He said, I'll be there. And so he gets on his donkey. If y'all don't know the story, the donkey's like, stops in the road. He's like, I ain't going. And he starts beating this donkey. And finally, the donkey turns around, speaks to him, and says, look, I'm just saving your life. This angel's about to kill you. You keep doing this. And so he hears the warning. He's like, okay, I won't do anything God won't tell me to do. Okay, yeah. So he still goes, and he gets up there to curse Israel. And every time he starts to curse Israel, he speaks a blessing. And Balak is like, that ain't in the contract, brother. You are in violation of the contract. Curse, don't bless. Well, maybe it's a different angle. So he goes around three different angles, blesses them every time. And he can't curse the people of God. Because look, when you're in Christ, ain't nothing going to touch you. And I don't mean you ain't going to go through trials. I'm talking about touch your eternal soul. And so here's Balaam. And a couple chapters later, you don't really hear about this, but this is how the enemy works. He pulls Balak aside. He says, look, man, I can't curse these people, but look, their God is holy. Get some of these loose women over here from Midian and just send them on in. And all of a sudden, the men are like, hey, never haven't heard that name before. You know, they're being breaking their sexual mores. They're being sexually immoral. And he said, don't just send them in there to be sexually immoral. Tell them to take their idols with them. And so not only they're led by their flesh, and what happens after that? They change their worship. See, I can't curse them, but if I can get them in immorality, they'll start worshiping your God. And that's why sexual immorality is so powerful in the lust of the flesh, because it doesn't just stay in the flesh. It infiltrates the mind. And then it starts to change our worship. Romans says this. He said, look, man, you'll keep doing the wrong thing, and it'll change how you think. And those of us have lived in sin. No, I used to think this way, and now I'm living this way, and now I think a little different. What happened? Because you are a holistic. This is not, sin isn't just a transaction. Sin is insidious. It changes you. It changes who you are. It twists you to want more. And then when it has you, like unreasoning animals, you've been trapped, and now it'll kill you. And this is the cunningness of the enemy. He might come in with a bad teaching to lead you to immorality. Or he might come in with morality to lead you to a bad teaching. But morality and your walk with Jesus and your spiritual formation and your theology cannot stay inconsistent for very long. Because you'll live a certain way and then you'll justify your behavior. Or you'll get pulled away by the wrong teaching and be like, Oh, yeah. You'll justify your behavior. And the next thing you know, they're all in line. And so some of us in this room are in danger because our behavior and our theology are not in line. And there is a season of grace when those things will have to align. And you can repent and submit to Jesus or get sold a counterfeit. And what will happen if that happens? And if that happens, then after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse than the first. It will be better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What is Peter saying? He's saying, look, man, now, I've seen this. You'll see a young believer. They get a picture of Jesus. I'm like, dude, forget all this sin. I want Jesus. Like, stand up in front of all their friends, embarrass themselves for the glory of God. I want to follow Jesus. And then a friend comes back. You don't have to stop smoking weed. The plant is of the Lord. Right? And there's some passage in Genesis. I read it one time. Oh, yeah, let me chat GPT. Yeah. You can smoke weed. You can continue to live in immorality. It's fine. You don't be radical. And the next thing you know, oh, yeah. But you've denied the master, the sovereign Lord who bought you. Because if you remember, let's go back here to chapter 1. We hit this. I hope we hit it. Where's my verse? I'm going to have to look it up. What is this? It's a paper Bible. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. What did he say? Do we have it on the screen? 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to, because I'm going to hop around. Do we have anything from 2 Peter chapter 1? It's okay if we don't. I'll read it. We good? All right, he says this. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given you what you need. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, you got to know Jesus. You got to know what he's done for you. You don't just know him, but experience his love. Who has called you by his own glory and goodness and glory and moral excellence. By whom has granted to us his precious and magnificent or his very great promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You may taste of the Holy Spirit. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. Look, why did he come and buy you? To get you out of that. Amen? He came to deliver you from your selfishness and your destruction and your immorality. He wants to get you out. So, why would he come and purchase you for that so you can go back in? That's the lie. And then now you're worse off than you were at the beginning. Jesus talked about this. Some will take the seed and they will receive it with joy and it will spring up. And then the sun will come, and because it has no root, it will squelch and die. He says it again, when someone comes in and casts out a spirit, it leaves the body, but that person doesn't fill them with God and the Spirit and holy living, and then the spirit gets his seven friends, right, that are worse and stronger than he is. Pastor Rice used to say, the devil's smarter than we are. Right? He finds seven friends stronger than him. How many of y'all find seven friends stronger than you? No, we don't. We're going to do it by ourselves. Or we're going to find some weak brothers and sisters. Find someone stronger than you. And call you up. And the enemy will find seven strong, and he'll come back, and afterwards it'll be worse for that man than the first. There's some mystery here, right? Is he talking about the teachers or is he talking about individuals? Yes. He's talking about both. I have a dog. I've got two. But one of them is... His name is Winston. And I got a good deal on him. That's... For you young folks, let me help you. If you get a good deal on a dog, it ain't going to be that good of a deal. Because... I didn't realize he was a rescue. Now, if some of y'all rescue dogs, that's a noble profession, and I think that's awesome. That's not what I was signing up for, you know? Like, I wasn't like, hey, please, I would like to rehabilitate this dog. No, I just wanted a dog. Now, this dog was well-trained in many aspects. It's house-trained, sit, lay down, very smart. But they starve this dog. And when it gets to eat, he eats. And like you, first couple of times, you, hey, here's a dog treat, all the way up to your elbow. We can't do that. My other dog is like, she's like pulling it out of my hand, real gentle, you know. So I'm like, Winston, we can't do that. But well, we would feed this dog, and I would pour the 2 cups of dry dog food in the thing. And then, boom, 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 done. But not done. Because the body cannot handle 2 cups of dog food in 10 seconds. So it began, you see him, right? And then the whole thing comes out like a burrito. And as soon as that thing hits the ground, goes at it again. 3 or 4 times of that, it stays down. So we got one of those like dog bowls where they gotta like do a word cross puzzle to get to the food. You know, they're like, he's like breaking his teeth trying to get to this food. Now, this is the picture that Peter's, he's like, look, you keep going back. And God has delivered us and washed us clean, and we go roll in the mud. Now, look, I'm here to tell you, I've done that. Just 2 of us. Here's the reality. If you've done that, God wants to deliver you. Praise the Lord. But you're in peril. It's dangerous. And time is running out. Because at some point, there's going to be something that clicks in your mind that says, I don't need God anymore. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word to help us. I just want to give you, if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to repent, because here's the reality. Jesus is always willing to bring you back. He's always willing to meet you where you are and help you. So if that's you and you need prayer this morning, raise your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Raise it high. All over this room. And so here's the reality, is that you're alone. That's what the enemy says. You're the only one. You're not. Go find someone stronger than you and resist the enemy. If you raise your hand this morning, I want you to pray with me. King Jesus, forgive me. Help me. Cleanse me by your blood. Fill me with your love. I just want you to say this. Father, I receive your forgiveness and your love. And I'm going to turn away from what you say is sin, my King and my Master. And I'm going to put my faith that you're going to be with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you raise your hand this morning, find someone to stand with you. to resist this. As we close, what's interesting about this passage is at the beginning of this chapter, kind of frames this whole, beginning of this book, that frames the whole book, is that you've got to pursue righteousness in God. Add to your faith virtue. Well, I got faith. Good. Add to it. And then add all these other virtues with it, and they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of God. One way we guard against false teaching is that we pursue Jesus in community. You can't do these virtues in 2 Peter chapter 1 by yourself. How are you going to have brotherly kindness by yourself? I've just been real kind to myself. Now, that's good for pop psychology, but that's not Bible. You need to be kind to somebody else. Yes, you need to be kind to yourself, sure. The best way you may be kind to yourself is love Jesus and let him love you. Amen? And know the gospel. So, engage in that process. One of the things we're launching, this is a save the date. We have a mechanism here to help people grow in their faith, and that's called our growth track. Okay, we've got a disciple step, helping you understand what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Making disciples, what does it mean to be on mission with Jesus? We have a victory weekend that we do every semester that helps you get free and a better undergirding of what it means to change and walk in freedom. Excited about some of the changes we're going to do that. It's going to be awesome. If you've been through that or some equivalent, like you've been here 20 years and it's changed 18 times, that's okay. You're eligible for this, but we're going to start, and we did this past semester, that led a pilot group called a discipleship cohort. It was a small group that we led with some men. You're going to hear some testimonies in the next couple of weeks on Tuesday mornings. We're going to open that up to men and women, and we're going to start a discipleship cohort on Sunday mornings before church at 8 a.m. Well, that's early. Well, this is for people who want to grow. So you have to get up, right? I mean, I don't remember Jesus saying, I'll be back on Tuesday. Follow me today, I'll be back on Tuesday. No, all the time. So this is going to be a little bit more intense, a little bit more, we're going to lean into each other and grow. Amen? And so if you're looking to grow, this is, if you don't want to grow, don't come to that. We're going to challenge you, right? I'm good, Blake, I'm comfortable. Stay where you are. But if you want to grow, come on Sunday mornings. But we're going to start on September 7th. We're going to have a sign up on the app this week. It's not up yet. But you do need to have gone through the first part of the growth track to be eligible for that, with some exceptions. But I'm so excited about that and what the fruit is already bearing in a lot of these men's lives and my life. So just save the date. September 7th, we're going to start a discipleship cohort, and it'll last the semester, okay? Make sure I don't forget anything. I ran out of paper, so I think we're good. Okay, can we stand and pray? Lord, I thank you for this amazing church. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I know there's something in this word this morning to help us. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bring it to mind and help us to walk out some obedience to the word, Lord. We wouldn't just hear the word. Lord, give us something to do this week in response to what you're saying today. Some of you that might be reading your Bible. I haven't read my Bible in weeks. Now's the time. It might be getting involved with a small group. Might be joining the discipleship cohort. Might be something. Lord, I pray that you bring it to mind. In Jesus' name, give us the courage to follow through. Amen. Amen. So if you're, thank you. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. We're going to have some of our prayer team up here. If you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be in the old cafe room, the hospitality room for Discover GCF. If you're new here and want to ask questions and meet myself and some of our leaders, we'll be in there. You guys have a great day. We'll see you next week. Oh, we'll see you Wednesday for worship and the Word.
Every time I hear your name, I got this revelation. That's the reason.